Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay. Let us be seated, then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarpa ditena dipena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambuddhang metamonudang ganda sambarayutena penahang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante Pojana parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance there. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with faithfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially for those who have the condition and affinity who receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay homage to Triple Gem. Bhadang Pujami Dhammang Pujami Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Everybody has been here before, huh? So we can start the meditation straight away. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Yeah? Maintain some form of attentiveness. Yeah? Just relax and silence everything. The key to meditation, like I always say, is understanding how to relax body and mind. Body and mind need harmony. And when the mind has this ability to relax, means it's not holding on to anything, not worrying about anything. It just be with the moment to develop the silent meditation. When you relax and just let things be, nothing will disturb you, nothing will stir your mind. Yeah. When it starts to stir and want you to think or worry about certain things, you just tell the mind, not now. We are in the midst of meditation. So you will only attend to all those things after the meditation. With some form of understanding, over time, the mind will listen to you. Then meditation becomes very simple. The best way to develop the meditation is to cultivate spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty, like I always emphasize on. So by now, most of you should have that. Then meditation becomes very easy. Technically, you don't need to train your mind anymore. You can just silent, relax, and go into the meditative state. Then when you relax and allow things to be, whatever movement within your mind, the sankhara, it will slow down on its own. When you don't try to control, suppress, or do anything, it will slow down on its own. You just let it slow down. Then if you are patient enough, all of a sudden, you will experience like a shift in consciousness. All of a sudden, like everything becomes very quiet. Then all of your movement within your vibration of your body, or the heartbeat, or anything that you can be aware of, they are like suddenly become very subtle, very quiet. Then it will continue to go into that quietness until like totally no more thinking, no more activity, no more movement. And when you can experience that, it's very good. Then you understand meditation is actually very simple. You don't need to do anything. You just know how to relax and silence. Then it will fall into place. The moment you are without thought, you're already in the meditative state. That's why don't try to know anything. Don't try to stir the mind. Just relax and silent. But for those who are still new, the spiritual faculty not there, you need to train, you train. Then understand clearly what you are doing in the name of meditation. You need to train the mind to decondition the heedless thinking. Then you must understand that's what you are doing. So the two skillful means that I taught you, the mind sweeping method followed by metta or loving kindness, is a very good way of deconditioning your heedless thinking so that you train yourself to just feel relaxed, no more thinking. Then when you sweep it from your forehead down, you train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then when you are there, you just silence everything, relax, then just aware. Relax and aware is very easy. Initially, I introduce feeling to you is because your mind, when the spiritual faculty are not stable, it thinks a lot. So you need to let the mind do something. So that feeling is to prevent it from thinking. That's how you feel. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you will feel it. Then you just relax into it silently, patiently, just relax into it. Then as you know how to relax body and mind, your mind will become very quiet, very calm, very peaceful. There is no more agitation. Then meditation becomes very simple. So as you decondition your heedless thinking, you develop more and more the mind sweeping method, your mind becomes quiet, peaceful, where it does not think anymore. Then when that happens, you develop inner peace. Then when you radiate metta, it helps you to relax further. Then bring about inner well-being. The mind state that has this loving kindness within. First, you start off by radiating this love or metta to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You feel the well-being and happiness or joy within your own physical body and mind. your entire physical body, each and every cell within. And may it to be free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it, free from all harm and danger. May it to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. As you radiate this, you feel very good. Your inner well-being, your inner happiness, your inner joy, they will arise. And this metta, inner well-being, will bring about the recuperation for your tired body. It's a good condition for your mind to actually recuperate from the tired day or whatever activity that you go through while living life, especially those who are working and those who have to carry out a lot of household duties and chores, career people, even those who hold position in political parties or what. Their work environment can be very challenging and at times very stressful. So ability to relax and allow your body and mind to rest, then recuperate, is very important, especially after a tired day. You silence your mind, relax. While you do the meditation, you actually help your body to rest. Then through the inner well-being and inner peace, you allow the body to recuperate. Then all these inner cells within your physical body and your mental states, they become very conducive because of the metta energy, the positive energy. Then you will boost your immune system. Then you will have a lot of joy, a lot of peacefulness, a lot of calmness. So these are the byproducts of training and meditation, and this is going to help you a lot. Then when you become more and more skillful, you can stabilize all this mind state. Then when you carry it over to your daily life, you can become peaceful and quiet and calm in the midst of life. And that is the real intent of the whole cultivation. Means mindfulness or heedfulness can be developed even in the midst of life, while you are working, while you are going through whatever things that you need to do in life. That is what we call the daily mindfulness. Sati sampajana means you not only have mindfulness, you have clear comprehension of everything that is going on. And you are very clear about your objective as to what you are training your mind to be, what you are doing. You are reversing all this heedlessness so that you can maintain heedfulness throughout the day. And when you can do that, you are destined for enlightenment. So from a heedless way of living life, you actually, through meditation, transform yourself to develop the heedful way of living life. And that is very important. And always remember, everything you do in life is meditation. As long as you can maintain mindfulness, awareness, clear comprehension, and you understand what is going on with clarity, then this mind that is constantly aware and mindful becomes heedful. Then it starts to develop the understanding of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path, all the path factor, you can reflect and contemplate. You will go into what constitute right views, what constitute right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood or right living. Then the four right effort, you will constantly cultivate them. Then you have to understand What constitutes evil too? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then only you can cultivate the precepts, develop mindfulness of your mental intention to see all the unwholesome mind state or the evil roots. Then only you can put forth the forthright effort to abandon them, to prevent them from arising. Then when you understand what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, and right living, you will know how to apply the appropriate right effort to give rise to all the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. Then finally, the last right effort is to refine upon all this that you already developed, then perfect them so that all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right living or right livelihood together with the four right effort will become a part of you. Means it's something that is very natural. Your mind will be doing it all the time. That's how you can keep your precept, because by doing that you are constantly aware and mindful to abandon all negativity, to prevent all the negativity from arising. Then you are constantly cultivating wholesomeness, goodness, gentleness, pleasantness, merit and blessing. Then you share merit, transfer merit, listen to the master, turn your view. You help people, you radiate love and metta. You keep your precept, you pay respect to Triple Gem. Then you make offering, generosity and all those things. So all this will help you to accumulate a lot of wholesomeness, the 10 meritorious actions that the Buddha taught. You would have covered them all. That's why your nature will become different. Then when you know how to share this merit, transfer this merit, and invoke the power of all this wholesomeness for causes and conditions, for you to walk the path of Dhamma, to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that you will progress easily along the path of Dhamma. So basically, cultivation is understanding all this. The key to cultivation is still spiritual faculty, the 5 spiritual faculty, especially saddha virya leading to sati, mindfulness. Then stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. Then you will understand a lot of things. Sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are clearly, and finally insight into phenomena to realize its universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self. Then also to see clearly all the mental intention behind, and how because of wrong view, delusion, and heedlessness, you arise the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and how because you lack the 5 spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over and make you heedless. Then you will start to witness all of the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha taught, the essential Dhamma, the advice of the Buddha, how it come from. It actually come about through the first right view with regards to law of karma, because the Buddha through his enlightenment realized this after going through aeons and aeons of birth and death. Then when he develops the ability to recollect all this birth, he starts to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, the dependent origination or dwelling, how the mind functions, how they arise and how they pass away, following exactly this Chittanupassana, where we develop the understanding of the dwelling of Paticca Samuppada. All this we will start to understand. Then later on, all the other essential Dhamma will fall into place. Then you will understand the whole of the meditation, accumulating into mindfulness of the seven factor of enlightenment leading to the Four Noble Truths. And when the Four Noble Truths is understood, you can become enlightened. You will awaken, the form and mind will awaken. Then the wisdom that is connected to the form and mind will enable the form and mind not to be deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world. Then it can stand above. The mind that is liberated will not be afflicted anymore, will not be affected anymore. It will not be deceived. It will have clarity, understanding, and is always in the state of equanimity, born of wisdom, upekkha. That's why you will not have any problem from that moment onward. No more suffering, no more problem, no more duality to affect your mind state. You will not be stirred or disturbed by anything that arises within the phenomenal world. So all this, when you gather the understanding, you will become very different, and you will understand very clearly the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and you will know how to meditate. Okay, now I will let you meditate. I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. slowly, mindfully, relax and come out of meditation. Always remember the mind state that you have trained. They are the meditative state that you need to maintain and make yourself to live life, to develop the real meditation in life itself, which is the daily mindfulness or awareness. Initially, you just have to develop the intention or make a resolve to maintain mindfulness throughout the day. Every time the mindfulness slips off or you become heedless again, don't worry, don't become unhappy. Just be aware that it is happening. Then determine to be aware again. Then come back to it. Just like you come back to your breathing last time when you trained. Now no need to come back to your breathing. Just determine to be aware. If you can do this until all of a sudden one day the awareness become like automatic throughout the day, you just know how to be aware. It will be very interesting if you try it, really try it out, because from now onward I will try to go deeper into the practice itself, the cultivation itself, so that you understand what this thing is. Because it has been for quite a while, very few people can really come back and like give feedback or explain what this is. If you really have done it, a lot of things will happen. Then you will see how the transformation takes place, how it gradually happens. Your mind will become very different. Then when it is like the analogy that one of my teachers used to give is like when you on a tap, initially like no water come out. Then later on you manage to see the water drip. The first drip is like you start to have the awareness. Then you are very happy, at least you are able to be aware for a while. Then maybe after a long time, another drip. It's okay. At least you are now more mindful, less heedless. Then as this drip continue, one day you realize it's no longer a drip. It's like slowly a flow come out. Then your body and mind like move as one. Every action, every activity, like the mind is aware of it. It just be with it. Body and mind as one. Then you realize the thought is like missing. You don't go through the usual, habitual, heedless thinking anymore. You are now very different. Most of the time you just be with the moment aware. That's why my teacher Chayantra, when he defined the highest meditation, that is a very important statement. That was how I actually determined and become mindful within a period of 2 weeks. I got it and stabilized it. He just said, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Can you do that? Yes, every activity, every movement in the present moment. Initially start off with your physical activity, your physical movement, like your four posture, sitting, aware, standing, aware, walking, aware, lying down, aware. Then later on, all the in-between movement. It's only when you can develop this kayanavasana or mindfulness of physical activity, then only your mind can actually get a momentum to become mindful. Then it's like the drip suddenly become like a flow. Then this flow is not a major stream of water flowing. It's just like intermittent, flow, stop, flow, stop. Then later on, it's like part of your nature. It continue to flow, means the mindfulness continue to be there. At that time, you already did it. Then when your kaya has developed, that is just the beginning. After your kaya develop until very stable, you'll be very surprised. That mind that is in sati, that has this ability, can see many, many things. Things that you never see before. Nothing has changed. Everything is still the same. But now, all of the movement and activity within nature, the flow of nature, your physical flow leading to your mental flow, you can see them all. That is the beginning of real satipatthana, for foundation of mindfulness. So this is something that will benefit many people because it's recorded. That's why I have to share this. And from now onward, for those who have already developed the daily mindfulness, you should be able to share more so that you can give people confidence. Then all this is the real cultivation. That's why in the early years I used to tell you all there are so many more things. Like the Buddha said, what he have understood is like the leaves in the forest. What you have taught you all is just a handful of Four Noble Truths. But this Four Noble Truths, there are a lot of things inside there. The whole of the teaching has a lot of things. That's why from there, when you develop the understanding, you will understand many, many things. But because there was no condition to share all those things, that's why it was seldom shared. But this nature felt, from now onward, many people can understand. That's why it starts to develop this condition for people to develop that type of understanding. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Yeah, okay.
Let's chant together.
Yeah.
Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadda Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamoggaṃ Dhammasavanakālo Ayaṃ Badantha Dhammasavanakālo Ayaṃ Badantha Dhammasavanakālo Ayaṃ Badantha Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijjācāraṇasampanno sugato lokavido anottaro purisa dhammasārati satta deva manusana putto bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehipaseko opanaiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango yayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango samicipatipanno bhagavato savakasango yadidang chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anotarang punya ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Bedang pujiemi. Damang pujiemi. Sanghang pujiemi. Okay. You can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attentiveness. We will start with second session. Which is meditation reporting, followed by any question you have. Q&A. Okay, we open it up to the floor. Anybody wants to report or ask any question, you just raise your hand. Yeah. Can. Yeah. I know. Never mind, you just...
Other meditation groups, the meditation group, they meditate, each of them, all different. Then they can see some, come out flowers or something.
So what,
up to the certain stage.
What is your question?
Is it true?
I know. What is the question?
Meditation, the movement as a lohan.
I know.
The individual of them have a different style.
I know.
And then they can see some. They say that some flower come out.
That's what they mention, and you hear it. But what is your question? What do you want to understand? No, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That one is a different meditation. Meditation is not to see or achieve anything. Meditation is to realize the truth. Understand that?
Okay.
All these are deviation. Maybe, you off the thing. Giving distortion. Thanks. Of the thing you have now. Okay, thank you. All these, they are the various type of meditation that living beings come out with.
That's why meditation is a very loose word, Anasana. Today, maybe we go through one more time, it will become more clear. So, let us go back to basic. What is meditation? That's why today, the whiteboard very clean. We are Sui An bought the magic cloth. Because this is a very loose word, meditation. What do you mean by meditation? What is meditation? Yeah, you check dictionary. What did the dictionary say? Ah, very good, Ingrid. Thank you. So, any form of mental training, any form of mental training is meditation training. That's why you have to develop understanding. Is meditation. So this is a very loose word. If I train my mind to develop, like just now Ching Yap say, all the law hand movement, then to see all those things, to them is when you become very skillful, you have certain achievement, then you can see all those things. That is also called meditation, where you train to do that. Then the one energy field, kasina, they train to develop concentration, go into jhana, develop psychic. There is also meditation. Then when you train yourself in yoga, they call yoga meditation. Then they break it up into raja yoga, what yoga, and all those yoga. Then you train your mind to actually temple with the chakra. They call it kundalini, to release all this chakra on the center, major nerve center. Then when you train your mind to radiate loving kindness, metta, and you call it loving kindness meditation, understand? Metta bhavana. That's why this word is a very loose word. But when it comes to bhavana, the Buddha's definition is different. The meditation that's taught by the Buddha is called bhavana. Bhavana. This one is not a meditation that is thought-based. It's not a mental training. This one is a meditation that leads to wisdom, insight. That's why it's called bhavana, the meditative training. Whatever you do that can bring forth this wisdom is called bhavana. Understand? Can follow? Huh? Can or not? I cannot ask. Huh? Nothing to lose. Understand? Or? Can understand this word or not? Whatever you do in the name of meditation that can bring forth the condition for you to insight in the phenomena, to develop the wisdom, to liberate your mind, to realize enlightenment, nibbana, is the bhavana as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. That's why from there they branch out. Bhavana, they focus on vipassana. What is vipassana? Passana is to insight into. We is the three characteristics of nature. So vipassana, you combine the two words, is to insight into the three characteristics of nature. Means all of phenomena, they have this universal characteristic. May it be physical phenomena, mental, or nature's phenomena. They have this universal characteristic. When your mindfulness is very stable, you will see them. You will awaken to them. That's why when you are mindful, you're just aware and silent, and the phenomena will awaken you. Don't go and look for the phenomena through your thought process, through all the Dhamma that you have learned. Because these are memory, these are thought. The real meditation is a silent mind before the knowing, without thought. That's why it's just awareness, sati. That's why it must have that quality of mind that is beyond thought, beyond mind. Sati, which is awareness, to awaken. That's why the whole of meditation focuses on the spiritual faculty of sati, leading to samadhi. Samadhi is to make it very stable so that it's collected and unwavering at the moment of sense experience. So having understood this, our focus should be on bhavana. Then of course a lot of people like vipassana. Vipassana is a natural occurrence when you have the understanding of bhavana. Vipassana is actually a small part of the whole bhavana. This one is just one part. It's just like avijja. Eh? Avijja. You know what is avijja? Ignorant. Eh? Sakaya diti or moha, self-delusion, which is mainly self-delusion, is just a small part of avijja. You understand? So this one is also a small part. But the real bhavana is the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. The three phases of Dhamma. You can follow. It's a very big cultivation. The three phases of Dhamma itself lists out for you the proper procedure to understand his teaching. Then how to put it into practice. Then how when you awaken, you get to understand the third phase of Dhamma. That's why we have Pariyatti, which is the learning of the teaching or the doctrine. So Pariyatti is very important. That's why I always emphasize, you put in more time to understand the teaching. And when you do it with understanding, means when you go to phase two, the cultivation of it, which is Patipatti, you will do it with ease and you will progress very fast. Whereas you cultivate with understanding, you meditate with understanding, you put the teaching that you have understood into practice or cultivation, it will be a lot easier. But if you have not understood the essential Dhamma, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, then you try to do, means what? You jump the gun, isn't it? You do without understanding. That's what is happening to the world. Everybody become gullible. Not everybody, maybe. Most people become gullible. So they go to retreat, they go to meditation. You know what they do? There is a teacher that gives instruction. Then you think by following the instruction, you are doing meditation. You don't even know what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. You didn't even understand the essential Dhamma. That's how you can become gullible. You can just accept. And people, when people say, this is vipassana, oh, you jump for joy and you think this is going to make you enlightened. Other thing you don't want to learn. But not realizing that the method and technique never define the meditation. What is vipassana also you don't quite understand. Maybe you only understand the word, the theory. Vipassana cannot be practiced. From the word you know, vi is the three characteristics of nature. Pasana is to insight into the three characteristics of nature. How can you practice? Practice is, what is practice? Yeah? Mechanical, repetitive, anasana. Keep on doing, anasana. That's why the method and technique keep on doing, anasana. You practice and practice and practice. But cultivation is not practice. Cultivation is to develop understanding, to awaken. That's why nothing to do with the method and the technique. And the method and the technique, people don't understand. You only do that because your mind is heedless. And your mind is heedless because the five mental hindrances are there. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be in a meditative state. That's why you need method and technique to lock the mind, to anchor the mind, then to fix it so that it will not wander off. Yeah. And to do that, they got no other way. Because they didn't know that the real one as taught by the Buddha is not control and suppression. The only thing they know is to control and to suppress the thought, to kill the thought, to fix the thought so that it does not wander off, it does not move. That's why they come out with one-pointedness meditation, the 40 meditation object. They come out with absorption meditation. They go into it, fix the thing and go into absorption so that there is no thinking, no thought process. And this one, all thought-based, go into energy field. Cannot develop the free mind to develop the understanding, to insight into phenomena. That's why a lot of people, when they don't have the understanding, they went in without understanding. They end up doing all those funny meditation which has got nothing to do with the Buddha's teaching. And all these methods and techniques actually came much, much later. Yeah. Last time somebody asked me that question, you remember? He said, Buddha also do anapanasati. But is anapanasati a method? It's not a method. It's to train the mind in awareness and that's not mindfulness. It is not fixing. It's not concentrating. It just develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just like your kayanupasana. Mindfulness of your four posture. Action, activity and movement. The question you have to ask is, why did the Buddha ask us to do and develop all this mindfulness? Mindfulness means what? Sati or mindfulness means what? What does it mean, the definition? To be in a state of awareness or mindfulness means what? You are aware? Before the? Wow, this one also cannot remember how to cultivate. Very good. Awareness before the knowing. Means the mind is just aware. Like a baby, and that's all. Just aware. Before the perception come in, before the word come in. You can still have pure perception of what that thing is, but no word, no label. Means before the knowing. Awareness before the knowing. So what is the intent? Means to develop the silent mind. Correct or not? Sorry. To develop the silent mind. The moment you are silent, without thought, you are already aware. True or not? So when you are without thought, you are not lost in thought. You can be attentive. Correct or not? Correct or not? That's why you can be aware of what is going on. But if you are thinking, means you are lost in thought. You are heedless. You cannot be aware. That's why meditation is about developing this silent mind. So this is the intent. That's why when you are throughout the day just aware, mindful, most of the time, you don't think. You hardly think. But to live life, you have to arise the thought, which can be done. But more important is initially to develop this ability to be aware. That's why the Buddha said, you train yourself in awareness, starting with anapanasati. When the awareness stabilizes, the reason why he teaches you anapanasati is because the spiritual faculty is not stable. That's why he said, start with anapanasati. Well, most people cannot develop spiritual faculty. They don't understand. But if you have already have the understanding, technically you don't need training. You don't need to go into the method and the technique to do all those funny meditation, which is thought-based. The moment you are relaxed and silent, the spiritual faculty takes over. Your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya. Initially, you don't even need panya, wisdom. So this spiritual faculty, especially sadha, make you very calm and very composed. That's why your mind state is very firm. Then no more doubt.
the spiritual, sorry, the mental hindrance or doubt, no more that. Then when there is virya, no more sleepiness, sloth and torpor, no more. Then when you develop the spiritual zeal to cultivate, it will lead you to sati. Then when you become mindful, you are just aware without thought. Just like below here. Yeah. Sorry. You are just aware, without thought. When you are just aware and without thought, there is no sensual desire, no ill will, no restlessness, no heedlessness. Your mind does not wander off. We are just aware. That's why when you have this, you meditate very easily. That's why I say the moment you sit, you already silent still. But initially, when you have not stabilized this, because most of the time in the day, you have your daily activity, especially those who are working. You got to do a lot of things, your duties and other things, your daily activity. So your sankhara, actually, you are most of the time not mindful, quite heedless actually. But then you still want to meditate. So what you do is, the moment you sit, you can be aware that there's a lot of thought, a lot of movement, a lot of sankhara keep on arising and passing away. And thought is respond to memory. Because during the day, when you are heedless, you accumulated so much memory. And all this accumulation and heedlessness come from the five mental hindrances. Because you have done it until it becomes habitual. Every moment of sense experience, you react. That's why sensual desire, you will like and dislike. It becomes habitual tendency. And throughout the day, most of the time when you are not mindful, you create mental hindrance. That's why how can you be mindful? How can you be heedful? How can you enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness to develop the meditation? You can't. So what I teach you just now was simple. Just relax and maintain silent awareness. Don't try to know. Then tell yourself, the untrained mind is healer, it will think. So let the sankhara move. Don't resist it. Don't control it. Don't go and focus. Don't go and do anything. You just relax silent. Follow our four support. Relax, aware. Silent means aware. Just aware. Don't try to know, just aware. Maintain the awareness. Then what happened? Slowly, this sankhara, which is mental activity, due to your delusion, will lose its power. Like Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. Whatever thinking, it will slow down on its own. And then when you can just relax and silent and see the slowing down of that movement, that is the real meditation. That is the third way that the Buddha taught. You remember the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought? The first two is thought-based. Think of the direct opposite. Wholesome thought. To abandon the unwholesome thought. Second is to think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought or unwholesome thought. The third one is just maintain awareness. That is meditation. That's why relax, aware. Don't do anything. Then all this will slow down. Then as it slow down, what did I tell you? As it slow down, it become quiet. Then stabilize it. That's why I say let it continue until it become very quiet and very still. Then you hit pasati. You will experience piti. You will go through piti. Then if you want to experience sukha, you can. But if you continue to relax and just let it be, the mind will become so quiet and so subtle. Even those doing all the object of meditation, the object of meditation like anapanasati or what, they also become very quiet, very peaceful, very subtle, like no more movement. That is the mind that is entering sati. That's why you have to train until it is that level. Then only sati is starting to become stable. Then when it becomes stable, the mind that is in sati is very different. Then when you come out of it, even the formal meditation, I still remember even in the early years, every moment of sense experience,
whether you see something or hear something or smell, taste, tactile, feel nothing, the mind is in sati. You see with sati, you hear with sati, that the mind is in sati. That's why the hearing becomes different, the seeing becomes different, the smell, taste, tactile, and thought, the awareness of the mental formation, mental activity, the aggregates of mind become very different. And this one you can only do it when your kaya anupassana is very stable. Means your sati, not only in the sitting. The sitting is just to train it so that it is very stable, the form of meditation. Then you have to bring that state into the daily life. That's why, like my teacher say, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. How do you cultivate? Even the blinking of your eye, the turning of your head, like the Buddha said, bending, stretching, turning, whatever you do, you have to be aware. Even in the formal posture, how you move your hand, how you come out of it, how you press and stand, the formal posture, every activity, you have to be aware. Not to note an asana. Forget about the noting. Just aware. Like you train yourself in games or webinar. Initially, very little one. You cannot do it one. But after you become skillful, it becomes a part of you, then everything is very graceful one. Like everything slow down. But it's not slow down. It's still the same pace. But the mind is aware of it. And because there is no thought, it's like magnify all those movements, all those activity. Then you are constantly in the state of sati, which lead to piti, then equanimity. Oh, sorry, not equanimity, paucity, the silent mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. But that mind, little or no movement at all. And that is what meditation is all about. You cannot develop until that stability. There is no way you can penetrate the Dhamma. There is no way you can awaken. Unless you have your past cultivation. Then all of a sudden you connect, then this mind state came. Like Huineng Liao, and some of the cultivator. Like for my nature. The moment I heard about it, and the nature knew this is the way, then it go all out and determined. Then within 2 weeks, the mindfulness came and became very stable. Ever since then, no more problem. Because he understood. That's why he starts to understand all this. So when sati is there, everything will fall into place. That is the meditative mind, silent mind, awareness before the knowing. And you have to stabilize this sati until very, very stable. Until in the midst of life, the hindrance no more. Your heedless way of doing things and living life, no more. Now it's a new way. New way means what? You not only whatever you do in your posture, everything, you're aware. You know? Even when your hand go into your pocket and take things, I tell you, most of you are thinking. How your hand go in also you don't know. How you take out your purse also you don't know. That's why sometimes you put your purse where also you cannot remember. Because you think. And you thought that is multitasking. Well, most people try to multitask. But when you multitask, if you are not trained, you are not skillful, you become heedless very fast. Because you are not mindful. Not mindful means what? You cannot recollect those movements. But it doesn't mean that you will have very good memory, you understand? Memory is actually nothing to do with mindfulness. But when you are mindful and aware of that phenomena, that movement, well, man can only do one thing at a time. When you are aware of this movement, specific phenomena awareness, you cannot be aware of other things, although your senses are wide open. Understand? Then you can alternate from here to that phenomena, to that phenomena, to that phenomena, continuously aware. That's like aware, 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 like that transcript talk that I'm going to finish up. Or aware, aware, perceive, then aware, then perceive again. But you are not lost in thought. You are not just aware, aware, then perceive, then proliferate, then lost in thought, become heedless again. then very difficult to come back to that mindfulness. You realize most of the time you are thinking, and your thought precedes all your action and movement. Your mental intention arises already. Then after that, only you want to do. Then when you reach that place, you cannot recall why you come here. Yeah, you have been thinking. How you wake up, how you go into the washroom, how you answer nature's call, and how you actually come out and dress up for the day or activity. Hardly mindful most of the time. But daily mindfulness is about meticulously aware of all this movement. That's why initially it's like everything you do, you have to have awareness. You're just silent. Be with it. Even when I extend my hand in the office or at home, right, to take the cup, then to drink. This one, go fully aware and you just take and you just do this. Of course, it can be aware of other things, but not important. But initially, when you train, you just train. You understand? Then when in the office, the phone call ring, what you do? The consciousness has to be very clear. Then forget about mental intention to listen or what. Because that one has become something common sense. Understand? Not? Ringing, you have a choice to answer or not to answer. To answer, your hand must move. That's why the mind and the awareness is there. Then when it touched the phone, how it take up, is fully aware. Then when it put on the phone and how it listened, is fully aware. Then how it respond is fully aware. How you speak, you're fully aware. Aware of what? Aware of how you communicate with people. You are sensitive not to hurt people and all those. That's why right speech, right action, and right mindfulness, they go hand in hand. And the right thought is based on your right view, right understanding, wisdom. So all this is noble if part of cultivation. And when you are mindful, the awareness which is aware can see all this and is aware of all the whatever activity that is going on. That's why this is cultivation. But if you just do it habitual, mechanical, repetitive, there is no training at all. You are hardly aware, hardly mindful. You never really cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Because there is no sati, no awareness, no heedfulness within. So this is the first time I go into this in such detailed manner. Is because Jingkiao asked that question. That's why I come back to this topic. What is meditation? But this is a very loose word. Everything you do can be meditation as long as you use your mind to train. So any form of mental training is meditation. But we are more interested in the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is bhavana. Bhavana is mental training to awaken, to become enlightened, to realize nibbana. Yeah. That's why this one start off with the five spiritual faculties. This five spiritual faculties is very important. When this one is there, technically, no need to train the mind. Meditation becomes automatic, very simple. That's like the transcript that Ponchi did for me. I almost finished already. I think another 10 page to go. Page 15 finished. After that, we will go for proofreading. Then maybe the improvement in the English sentences. Because it's very colloquial. Because it's spoken. Type of transcript. So the spoken, if you put like verbatim, I tell you the person who read, if he doesn't understand my style, he will go cuckoo. He won't understand what I was trying to express or share with them. Yeah. So now we slow it down so that you understand. Okay, we repeat. Meditation is a very loose word, okay? Any form of mental training is meditation. Whereas the meditation as taught by the Buddha is not interested in all those psychic phenomena or even like
what Brother Chingyap described, where there is just another form of meditation, the Lohan meditation, where you can see flower and all those things after some time, after they train. Yeah. So those are the things that other people do. That's why the Buddha said, those are white tao, externalist meditation. They are more interested in developing certain skill, to have certain ability. Like Qigong, become Qigong meditation, anasana. Then Tai Chi Quan, also Tai Chi meditation. Because it's just mental training to do something. Then sometimes you train your Qi, your Tan Tian and all those things. It's also meditation, it's mental training. Then you train it to develop loving kindness, it becomes Metta Bhavana, loving kindness meditation. Then there is a lot of other type of meditation. Even Christian, I was told, they have their Christian meditation. They also do a lot of prayer, like chanting and all those things. Then the way they pray, they also call it meditation. Because it's their faith in whatever being that they have faith in. Then they like pray to that great being. Then they like communicate with the great being, of course through mental and all those things, and couple with the faith. Then all these things, based on their belief system or what, influence them, but it will make them calm, peaceful, because when you have faith, you become very calm, very peaceful. There is no more fear, no more restlessness. So it's a good way of maintaining the calmness of mind, but it does not lead to wisdom, to understanding life. It does not lead to the liberation of the mind so that you can be at peace in life under any life situation and circumstances. Whatever that happen or arise, it will not affect you. You will always be peaceful, relaxed and just aware. And there is just this peace, understanding, joy within. No matter what happens, no more suffering. Even the body goes the way of nature, become very sick, very old, about to die. There is no fear. Then even when situation go very wrong, like financial problem, other people cannot take it, relationship problem, people go into depression and all those things. But to those who have developed the awakening, the understanding, they will understand very clearly that this is not what it is, because they are no longer deluded by the phenomenal world. And they understand, he no me, ho no you. There is no mark of an individual being, of a cell, of any living being, or even of life, or of Dhamma. So all this, when you understand, when you realize and awaken, then that wisdom is so different. It can actually transform the mind. The form and mind that is connected to it realizes itself and sees. And with that wisdom connected, it's no longer deluded. That's why it's always at peace. It's always beautiful. Then that one can live like the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You will reap the fruit of your hard work. So Pariyatti is to understand all this that I have shared with you, including the introduction before we start the meditation, or as we were doing the meditation. Then when you understand all this, then you cultivate with understanding, you progress very fast. So what is it that you have to cultivate? Initially, how do you start? Let's say you have this understanding. How do you start? That's like clear comprehension, the four types of clear comprehension. What are the four types of clear comprehension? First one is what? First one is sincerity of the purpose. Means you are very sincere. You are not here to seek psychic and all those things. So this one will prevent you from going wrong, because this one
will make sure you got no greed. Greed for psychic, greed for power, greed for special ability. Then the second one is domain of what? Domain of meditation. Means meditation can be done anywhere, anytime, any place. It's not just when you are in a retreat or in a meditation center. So this clear comprehension of domain of meditation is very important, so that you can meditate in the midst of life, and that is the main purpose. If you cannot meditate in the midst of life, you cannot be heedful in the midst of life, the Buddha said, you are as if dead. Understand? That's why sati sampajana is to be very clear about all these things. Then the third one is what? Yeah? Clear comprehension of suitability. What is suitability? Yeah? The most important person, place, and the time. So when you understand this, you don't go and procrastinate. Understand? You don't say, wait till I retire, only I start. Or wait till I'm not so busy. When my kids all don't need me. Not they don't need you. You die already, that's why they don't need you. You always think you will live until so long. Then the most important people are the people that are around you. If the people that are around you, you cannot learn from them, then you don't understand. If you like somebody, always project, oh, you, how nice, yeah, I've been born during Sakyamuni Buddha's time. Here I can listen to his sermon. My chance of enlightenment is very, very much higher. That is not a reality, it's an if. The fact is, Sakyamuni Buddha is 2,600 years ago. Now, the people that are around you are more important. You need to seek them out. Go, if you have affinity with them. Otherwise, they will come to you. That's why they say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Very true. The book will come. The guide will come. The teacher will come. Then, the most important time is now. Here and now. Cultivate. Develop heedfulness, mindfulness. Cultivate the spiritual faculty. Become heedful. The heedful never die. And it's so simple. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So what are you waiting? Understand? And to be heedful, you must have the spiritual faculty. And spiritual faculty will help you overcome the mental hindrance. That's why the Buddha said, don't fight the hindrance. Don't control. Don't suppress. Acknowledge them. Like in the Satipatthana Sutta, the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana. First category of cultivation is what? Mindfulness of? The five mental hindrances. And what did the Buddha say? When the mental hindrance of sensual desire is there, the reason already, you have to be aware, understand now? Then when you are aware, you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. Understand? Well, before it arises, it was never there. But if you are mindful throughout the day, then you will know how sensual desire and craving arise in you. It's always through the senses. That's why you have to do that part. Then after that, you have to go to the second category of cultivation, which is mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. You must understand that these are not you. These aggregates are impermanent, lead to suffering when you attach and cling. And because they are impermanent, they are non-self. They are not you. They are empty. Then when you have this understanding, you go to the third category of practice of Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. And this is the one that allow you to trace the origination factor. Origination factor means what? How the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. Understand now? This is how it originates. Before you get angry, you were never angry. But when you see somebody,
Because you have wrong view, you perceive him with negativity, then you get angry with him because of what he has done to you. Or after you heard somebody scold you or accuse you or something, or abuse you, then you stir your mind through anger, which is the evil root. That's how the unreason hindrance come to be ill will, sensual desire. So after you have traced the origination factor, retrospectively reverse it. Means you trace it due to your wrong view. Then you straighten your view. Then you realize, if I can have this wisdom to accept him for what he is, I will not have that wrong view. I will not perceive him with negativity, like the previous Thursday we went through. Then I can accept him for what he is. Deluded people say deluded thing. Angry people say angry thing, emotional thing. Greedy people do greedy thing. Selfish people do selfish thing. They are just the way they are. Then you can be at peace with all type of people, all situation. Thing is just the way it is. Can never be otherwise. Where it goes the way of nature, like this body. You will get old, you will get sick, and one day die. Then nature's condition is all dependent originating, condition arising. Condition like that, you will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. You want thing your way, you suffer. So when you develop all this wisdom and understanding through right view, you straighten your view. Then you realize every moment of sense experience, you're no longer like before, so deluded. But before you insight into phenomena and realize the three characteristics, all this is just knowledge, understand? It is already very good, help you a lot. That's why you have to reflect, contemplate until very, very clear. Then it prepare you to be ready for enlightenment, to awaken. That's why you need to contemplate, reflect until very, very clear, all this sharing. I learn from my teacher, then I expand on it. Then whatever I expand on it, I share with you. You can expand on it later on. Because I realize these are the things that help this nature penetrate, break free. Then after you have this ability, you have already traced the origination factor, then retrospectively you know how to reverse it, then you realize the reason hindrance is to be. Understand? That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha says, when you are just aware, you will see how the unreason mental hindrance arise. Then as you are aware, it will cease to be. Then you will come to understand how the unreason mental hindrance cease to be. Because you already have the wisdom. You just aware, the third way that the Buddha teach you. Do not give it any more mental energy. Then that sensual desire, that craving, or the anger, that fear, the insecurity, and the delusion or restlessness, the mind that doesn't receive this negative, what they call thought energy through delusion, it will slowly, slowly cease to be. Then the very flowering of that thought, because it's dependent originating to wrong view, then as you develop this ability not to allow it to continue through maintaining silence in the meditative state, when you are just aware and just let it be, then it will slow down, then it will cease. Then finally when it ceases, you realize, hey, I don't have to do anything. And this is the original state of mind. Originally it was already like that, before it stir, before it react, before it create all those things. Then you realize what the Buddha said is true. Dependent originating, condition arising. Anger is not me. Sensual desire is not me. Fear is not me. Restlessness is not me. It's just a mind state, condition arising. That's why don't fight them. Don't resist them. Allow them to be. They will come to pass. They are there because you lack the five spiritual faculty. The moment you have sati, they will cease to be. That's why spiritual faculty is very powerful. That's why you just relax, silent, aware. Don't do anything. You will settle down. Then you will cease. Then the Satipatthana said, when you are just aware, you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. After you have done it a few times, after you have developed the meditation and straightening of view, Then later on, when the condition is there, you insight in the phenomena and awaken. Then you will come to know the third part. How in the future, this mental hindrance will not arise anymore. It will cease to be. That's how the Satipatthana is to be cultivated. But people don't have this type of understanding anymore. They don't teach this thing anymore. And when they go to the four foundation of mindfulness, maybe they read through. They don't explain. Because they cannot explain. They don't know what this thing is. Now you follow. This is the most important understanding. Then coming back to the four type of clear comprehension. What is the last one? Yeah? The last one is what? Clear comprehension. The last one is what? Huh? Non? Ah. This one is very important. Clearly comprehending without delusion means when you are caught with the 10 defilements of insight, don't go and believe that you are already enlightened. Understand? Because these are the defilements of insight that will actually deceive you. They are insight, you know, knowledges, but it's called a defilement now. You know why? Because you go attached to it. And what are the defilements of insight? The first one is what? There are 10 of them. First one is what? When you see nimitta, they call it obasa, the Pali word. Not Japanese. Japanese is obasang. That one is different. This one is obasa. Means nimitta. When you meditate and you're very calm, very peaceful. Then the nimitta will arise. They call light. And the sound, images or light. They will appear. Different people, different type of nimitta. Different color too. I remember my early day, it come out. Violet one. Always violet one. Purplish violet. Then it move very fast. Effervescent. Like, very, very fast. Like last night, chemistry experiment, you remember? You put the salt into the acid. Wow, the thing. What you call the effervescent. Spark. Very fast. Keep on changing. The nimitta one is thousand of times faster. But not important. When it arrives, it makes you very calm, very peaceful, and you love it the first time. Because there's so much joy. Then you can play with it, you can focus on it. You can develop it until it becomes the counter image. Then you like open your eyes also can see. That's why the meditation object become very clear to them and they can just concentrate and focus and develop energy field. That's why they can play with it and develop psychic ability. But this is all Hindu meditation. It's a one-pointedness thought-based meditation. So you must understand with non-delusion that these are externalist meditation, thought-based energy field. You don't go and get yourself entangled. Then after that, your piti, your sukha, you also cannot attach. The moment you attach, it becomes a defilement of insight. Then later on, even your sti, you train until you are so mindful. And most of these people are caught because they are only very, very mindful in inverted comma according to them when they slow everything down and in a retreat. Then they recall the text say the arahant is always aware, mindful. So they thought they are at least one of the sainthood, either Sakadagami or Anagami or even Sakadagami or arahant. You become complacent, then you are caught. And all this is clearly comprehending
during meditation, so that you are not deluded by it, you are not deceived by it. So this four clear comprehension is to prevent you from making mistake. That's why you're not only mindful, you have to clearly comprehend what you are doing. Sincerity or purpose means you don't have greed for psychic and all those things. You don't have greed for all those fantastic meditation. Your sincerity or purpose is to develop wisdom to awaken. That's it. That's why your focus is cultivation of spiritual faculty, leading to the stability of mindfulness. After this one, you develop heedfulness. And what is heedfulness? Up here. Ever mindful, which is the stability of mindfulness, plus cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you will have this clear comprehension of what you are doing. You will not be deluded. You will not say that, ayo, in the office when I'm working, I cannot meditate. Then you don't understand the domain of meditation. Or when you are at home, the children too noisy, my husband keep me occupied, I cannot meditate. There is no such thing. The domain of meditation is you can meditate anytime, anywhere, any place, in any posture. It's just mindfulness, awareness, heedfulness throughout the day. You can be aware of your speech, how you live your life, your action, the way you communicate with people, and how you arise your thought. You are ever mindful. And you understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes three evil roots, what constitutes the spiritual faculty, what are right thought, what are wrong thought, what are the right speech, wrong speech. So because of that, as you cultivate, you develop clear understanding of what the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Then when you answer phone calls, so not only mindful, you are very aware of the thing you say because you are sensitive. You feel for people. Then because you develop the sensitivity of mindfulness, the slightest movement inside your heart, you feel it. Understand that? When you want to say something, the nature feels it. And you no longer can be aggressive or deluded or heedless. And you can never deceive people or try to cheat people or try to lie and all those things. Automatic, you cannot do because you have got the right view, clearly understood through pariyatti. That's why the Buddha, through the law of karma, he came up with this clear understanding. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. If karma plays such a great role in almost all aspects of our life, what must we do? We must take care of karma. And how do you take care of karma? Yeah? Avoid all evil, do good, which is the advice of the Buddha. That's how it comes about. Then purify the mind to develop the wisdom so that you are not afflicted when you confront the first noble truth, eight conditions or eight realities. And this is what the teaching is all about. Then how do we avoid all evil? The Buddha recommend keep the precepts. And how do we keep the precepts? We must have mindfulness. We must train ourselves to develop sati, the spiritual faculty. Then in order to see your what they call wrong thought, you have to understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes wrong thought, what constitutes evil, the mental intention behind all your action, speech, and thought process. When you understand the essential Dhamma of greed, hatred, and delusion, expand on it, then only you can be mindful of it and deal with it. If you don't even understand what they are, how can you keep your precept? You will justify. Because you don't see how this precept is relevant to avoiding evil. You never reflect and contemplate who kill, who harm, and what are the mind state of people who can kill and harm. The evil roots are there. They are either deluded, greedy, or violent. selfish. So all this you check. Each and every precept is the same. Then how come the Buddha phrased it in such a way? I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Why must you do it as a training rule? This is what mindfulness is all about. Satipatthana is all about. To be ever mindful of the mental intention that is behind all your actions, speech and thought. That's why the Buddha said, Chittanupassana. When there is greed, you have to be aware. When you are aware, you can deal with it, isn't it? When there is anger, you have to be aware. That's why every moment in life, you have to be aware. The like and dislike, the pleasant and unpleasant. These are the mental hindrance. If you can't see them, how can you cultivate? How can you root them out? And you don't understand them. You go and control and suppress. You try to do away with it. You try to push it away. The Buddha said, no. The Satipatthana Sutta make it very clear. Dhammanupassana. You don't fight. You just aware. Then silence your mind to trace the origination factor and understand how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then as you continue to relax and aware, you realize this is to be. When you don't fight them, don't suppress them, don't control them. But what is the thing that caused them to go? Yeah? What is the thing? Awareness, isn't it? You're just silent, isn't it? That's why you come to realize that five spiritual faculties is the one that can help you overcome all this. Then you realize, no wonder the whole of Satipatthana is about sati. No more thinking, no more thought. That's why you have to understand what is sati. Awareness before the knowing. How can you train? That's why when you bow on your body and mind as one, there is sati. Your physical action and the mind as one. That's why Fa Gu San, that Sen Yen Fa Si is very good. Sen zai na li, Sing zai na li. That is meditation, is it? Which is very accurate. Kayanupassana. Then relax. Fang song. Chuan ti fang song. So this is how the one that has developed the understanding and the awakening, they will share with you what they understand. That's why all this can only come from those who had realize, awaken, and gone through. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Yeah. So, meditation is very simple. If spiritual faculty is not there, train, cultivate. How do you cultivate? We went through before. Start with puja, okay? When you do your puja with understanding and mindfulness, first you develop faith. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Through knowing how wonderful and special a being the Buddha is. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And you can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. And because of that, you can have him as your teacher. You will have a lot of faith in him, a lot of gratitude towards him. That's why your sadha become unshakable. Then when you knew his teaching is so wonderful, can bring forth the enlightenment, the awakening, to liberate your mind, to free you from all delusion and suffering, and to make you so beautiful, so that you can realize that the face of Dhamma, Pativeda, to reap the fruit of your training. Then you look forward to cultivate his teaching. That's why the faith will drive you on with a spiritual zeal to cultivate. Then when you determine to cultivate, when you are serious, everything you do is sati. That's why sati will come. Because you determined to be aware. Just determined to be aware. And like Krishnamurti say, the awareness of in-awareness is awareness. But he used a different word. The awareness of inattention is attention. Understand? The moment when you are aware that you are no longer attentive or aware, you already have the awareness. But only the awareness knows that you are heedless. Understand? But when you are heedless, without knowing that you are heedless, that is the worst. Anasana. That's why the English saying also got, eh? When a fool knows that he is a fool, at least he is not a real fool. But when a fool doesn't know that he is a fool, still think that he is very smart, that one is worse, I tell you. That's why the ability to be aware that you are not aware, that itself is awareness. That's why the Buddha said, anapanasati means what? The moment this one wanders off, becomes heedless, no longer aware of the breathing, that is awareness. Then what do you do? Don't react and say, again the mind become heedless again. You react because of what? You have craving, anasana. You want good meditation, anasana. You want to be mindful. You want your anapanasati to develop until piti, sukha. And you cannot see the greed inside there, no? The attachment inside there. Then you develop aversion where you cannot get what you want. Suffering arises. That's why you become unhappy. And you some more say, my meditation today is lousy. Good and bad meditation. What are you doing? You are not meditating. You don't understand what is going on. You create mental hindrance through sensual desire and you will. So what you're supposed to do is be mindful, aware. The moment you are aware that it has wandered off means what? It has become heedless. So what? Accept it. Because the untrained mind is heedless. Now you can follow. Just be kind to yourself, understand? Don't take yourself so hard, so seriously. Just accept it. Because the untrained mind will be heedless. It will think, it will wander off. So what do? Patiently bring the attention back. Then I again relax and aware. Then the moment I detect the breathing, I follow. Actually, this is more difficult, you know. Huh? The best is do your bowing. When you walk aware, stand aware, everything aware, like that you faster. Because that one only formal posture. You know. Sometimes I got to breathe heavily to show you. Huh? Mindfulness of the in and out breath. But when you can do it that time, when your spiritual faculty is there, I tell you, no need to train, no need to pray. The moment you sit, completely no thought on. Because you are fully aware throughout the day. Your mind is in sati. And you are heedful. You are seldom heedless. And when you are never heedless, means this thing has become a part of your nature. There inside nothing. Like I used to share in the Tuesday class. I say, all my sharing, the 2 hour plus, do you think the mind dwell everywhere? No? That's why I asked in the Wu Ping Sing Sir class, how do you develop a mind that is not dwelling anywhere? Is it possible? It can be done. That's why that time I think, Pauline, she now very hardworking. No? She really listened attentively and developed understanding and asked me many questions. No? I find these two sentences very interesting. Is it? You always talk about in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. No? In the midst of sound, there can be silent. No? What do you mean? Means she is attentive. She knows it's beautiful. I say it very simple. In the midst of activity, like when I'm sharing, when I'm teaching, when I'm living life, do you think the mind, the nature inside there has movement or not? There is no movement. That's why in the midst of activity, there is stillness. Even this moment, when I speak and share all this inside, still. Then sometimes, in the busy town area, a lot of traffic, a lot of vibration, there are a lot of this, what they call sound, everywhere. Like that they go Ching Yap's factory. All the noise, everything. SKL. Yeah, not your factory. Yeah. Your company. Yeah. How can there be silent? Silent means what?
Not the one you see at the retreat, put the hand in front of the mouth. That one is don't talk. That one is not silent. You may not talk, but inside your mind chattering like anything, verbalizing, commenting, creating all the movement. That's why that one is not silent. That one is still chattering, although no sound. It's still verbalizing. It's still heedlessly thinking, rising the thought, reacting, stirring, and doing all those things. But the mind that has the spiritual faculty, very stable, unshakable, and with wisdom through awakening, inside, really no movement. No verbalization, nothing. That's why in the midst of sound, there can be silence. In the midst of activity, there can be stillness. And there is no contradiction. Now you understand. Then the other thing is, how do you develop a mind that is without dwelling? Like Hui Ning say. Well, Hui Ning's teaching is very simple. According to the Platform Sutta, is it? There are three phases. The first phase is to understand what type of mind you use to meditate. What type of mind? There are two types of mind in you. I tell you, a lot of people don't know this. Even so-called meditator. Go retreat in and out 30, 40 years. The two types of mind is very easy to distinguish. The first one is you use very often the last time. Maybe now less. The mundane mind, anasana. The thinking mind. The heedless mind. The conditioned arising mind. Dependent originating mind. And that one, you can see it almost throughout the day, every day. Because of heedlessness and all those things. But the other one, when this is not quiet, you cannot realize anasana. That's why you never knew that you had another mind. When all chattering, all activity stop. When the thought does not arise. That is the silent mind. That is your true mind. That is the meditative mind. That's why Hui Ning say, first phase, first step, is to know which mind meditate. That's why he say, the basis is, you have to know that this is the mind that is without thought. The moment you are without thought, you already aware. You already silent, and that's not. That silent mind. Awareness before the knowing. The moment you aware without thought, you already silent. Or to put it the other way is, the moment you are silent without thought, without chattering, without verbalization, you already aware. So don't try to be aware. Don't practice awareness. The one that practices is the thought. It creates more thinking. That's why they cannot do it. Because they use thought-based meditation. Verbalize. They keep on verbalizing. Noting. Creating more and more concept. More and more thought. So that is the first step. The mind must be silent. Aware. That's why you have to develop mindfulness. Otherwise the mind cannot be silent. So spiritual faculty leading to the stability of mindfulness is first. Then stabilize it until samadhi is there. Then cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? So the first basis is the right mind to use to meditate. So first one is the silent mind. Silent mind or true mind. So this one is no thought. Without thought. Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, not T-U-R-E. Yeah, true mind. Thank you. Correct? So this is no thought.
Then the second one is what? They didn't attend Sunday class, they don't know. You can remember. Anyway. Last one, that one. No mark. Yeah. This one is no mark. Understand? When you cultivate until you can have this type of wisdom where there is no mark of even, there is a self within the form and mind that cultivate. Understand? That's why there is no one meditating. There is no one living life. There is a form and mind. But that one is not real. That one is dependent, originating, condition arising. Not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's not you. No mark of living being. No mark of life. No mark of whatever. They call it Atman or the ultimate self and all those things. Or Dhamma. Then the third one is the mind must have no dwelling. If you can have this three, you will awaken. You will become finally Samasambuddha. Yeah. Actually, the first one can already make you enlightened. But when you can cultivate until no mark, you already a great cultivator, Diamond Sutta level. Yeah. But this one, you have the third one, no dwelling. You have to be very, very stable. You must have your past cultivation. Otherwise, you cannot reach this one. This one, really, you know how you dwell or not? Yeah? How does your mind dwell? Yeah? Throughout the day, your mind dwells everywhere. No, not wandering, not healer. Every moment of perception, you dwell in the center. If you perceive the Buddha image, your mind dwells there, true or not? You listen to my voice, your mind dwells here. That's why every moment of perception is dwelling. How can you have a mind that don't dwell? I know, I ask you. I even ask them, is it possible? Everybody look at me. Then I explain, it's possible. I explain the talk. You remember earlier on I explained to you all, when you have awareness or mindfulness, when you are really in sati, there are two types. One is specific phenomenal awareness. The other one is spacious awareness without a center. That's why the mind don't dwell anywhere. Specific phenomenal awareness means the awareness and the movement as one. Whether it's physical, mental or nature, it just flows with it and it's not. That's why it does not dwell. And most of the time, the nature is like that. And the true mind got no dwelling. What is the true mind? The silent mind. And what is it? Awareness before the knowing. So how can it dwell? It haven't even perceived. Understand? You understand? That's why it cannot dwell. It's just aware. So this, Inbi, you want to ask something? Yeah. Definitely is there. It's there without its content because you can be in sati, understand? That's why you remember last time I used to say, yi nian qing jing. Understand? The movement, every thought that arises, it can be in stillness. Then that mind has got no dwelling, understand? But it wants to come out and live like it can. It's just like the what they call the three types of seeing. Understand? Kan san, si san. Kan san, pu si san. But finally, kan san, yu si san. Understand? Because when you need to come out to live life, then you can still live. You can still arise the thought. Understand? You can still perceive. When you drive a car, you have to perceive yourself. You have to be attentive. But you are not heedless. Understand? Then you have to respond. Understand? Your reflex. Everything is very fast. Then you are limited by the physical body that is trying to drive. This one needs skill. You long time you didn't drive, you go and drive, I tell you, not easy. Then depend on the car, understand? Whether you're familiar with the car or not. Nowadays, the good car, when you are very familiar, when you drive, you feel very safe inside there. Well, last time, before I start to drive some of this good car, we don't call it expensive car because not necessarily expensive. Some of the good cars are not necessarily expensive, but really different. No? The way they break everything, then the way they actually develop ability to maneuver that car, it is so stable. No? It's so different compared to the earlier car that I used to drive. Then only I understand why people pay so much for those type of good car. Of course, the high power racing one I haven't tried, but that one I heard from Sam. He liked this type of car. Always say it's different, isn't it? And when he bought the M3, you know, it's an M3, right? It's a BMW, five series. I remember last time when I was with him in Mitrajaya, we were working that time. Because he was close to me, then we make a lot of money from stock market. So he loved car. And when he was young, he cannot afford. He looked at the car magazine on all the model, you know. Then he went and bought. The first car was the BM 3 Series cheap one. Then later on, when he made the money, he went and bought this SLK, Merc, like my son one. But one model later than my son one. My son one was an old one, very old one, second hand he bought. The two-door one. That one is about, I think that time he bought 1990-something, almost 400,000. Then after that, he tried the M3, which was the one he loved. Wow, the CC, very powerful one. And it's a very, very high-powered performing car. I tell you, he said, the sound of the engine is worth all the money already. The moment he rammed on the accelerator, that sound the other car cannot give. Then you know how fast the car was. That's why you have to be skillful. Because he bought through NASA. Then BMW here don't want to give him the service. He got bought through NASA. Didn't pay tax on discount a lot. Then he had to drive to Thailand to do the servicing, all computerized. So I follow him, I think, 2 or 3 trips. I tell you, when you drive along the North South Highway, 200 kilometers an hour, you don't feel it. You think it's only 80 or 100 inside there. But I tell you, that guy who was in front, he saw our car like very far away. Within a few seconds, next to him already, he saw also, he panicked. We got so far. I sit inside there also, I feel, wow, different. Yeah. But it's not about the car, please. Don't go and say, brother, they also like car. And then you go and buy, give reason to buy expensive car, I get into trouble. Some of the men especially love car. Some of Kayar Mita, the husband, love car. But you can afford, why not? But please take care of your life. For Sam's case, it's different. Because he really liked the car. And he went to Germany for training. When he bought the car, it's special design, limited edition. They will talk to you on what spec you want and all things. Then the training, you pay. They will put you on the circuit to drive. That's like all the learning. Then one day, I remember, he went and parked his car at the valet parking. He passed the key to the guy. The guy come back. How to start the car? They don't even know how to start the car. It's very, very difficult if you have not been trained. It's different. So, when you drive high-performance car, it's like when you are in the spiritual field, when you develop that type of training until you are so skillful, you are so different. That's why you can do things very different. See things also very different. And the mind, the nature, very different. That's why you can never understand until you experience them and go through them. So the closest analogy I can give you is about this type of high-performance car. Understand? Where I witness it before. So these are all possible if you really, really develop the training, have the faith, sincere, persevere. Actually, it's not difficult. Okay. Oh, yeah, 10:30 already. Okay, final summary. Huh? So, train your mind in spiritual faculty. The moment it's trained, you no need method technique. You straight away overcome the mental hindrance. Then you will understand. Sati, samadhi there, you will understand. Then daily mindfulness, most important. Yeah. Always remember. You cannot be mindful and heedful in the midst of life. You don't stand a chance. That's the truth. Yeah. No amount of sitting alone can free you unless you have your path. Yeah. Cultivation. Okay? Yeah. So it's very simple when you understand. That's why develop the understanding, then cultivate. That's why bhavana cover a lot of things. Not only the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the three phases of Dhamma, even the Four Noble Truths itself. It is a very wide scope. All the eight path sectors. Even sati alone, the four foundations of mindfulness is already such a big topic, understand? Then the right view itself is another very big topic. Even right thought, right speech, right action, right living, and the four right effort. There's a lot of cultivation involved. Then sati, leading to samadhi. Then finally, upekkha, the seventh factor of enlightenment. So all this, they are all connected to bhavana, the meditative training to awaken. Yeah. This vipassana is when your silent mind is very stable, then it can happen. You will insight. It just understand. It will just awaken. No thought, nothing. No knowledge behind it. The silent mind just awaken. That's why the Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond mind. If you need to use thought, knowledge, and mind to approach, then it's not the Dhamma that the Buddha talk about or speak about. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So that's all for tonight. Then we can do our sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you make your aspiration. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhuvata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. Itta vata chamehi punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo imina punyang kamena mame bawa samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully the Lord Buddha and order what he wants.
Thank you.